Father, we ask your help today as your word unfolds before us. May it give us the help and the strength that we need so that we would be your children the way you want us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we open up God's word today, Jesus is giving to us another command of what we are to be as his followers. Last week, we saw the need of being salt. And all that salt implies, the various components of it, how it works, what it does, how we are to be that in the society and in the world around us so that people will be drawn to Christ, so that we will help lead them to the one who can satisfy them, change their hearts, give them what they need. And that is who Jesus said we are. We saw how the people understood that concept of salt in Jesus' day as opposed to our day. Well, today Jesus is telling us that we are also something else. He says we're to be light. And if you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 14, as we continue in this journey and through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," period. Just like he said with, "You are the salt of the earth," period. And he says, "A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden." And so he states the fact that we are light, and that's what we're to be. That's our lot. That's what we're supposed to emulate. We are the light of the world. Just like salt that had its various characteristics and its various properties, so does light. And we see, and we'll look at that this morning, and understand that as we combine this area of salt and light, we are to infect and infest and to go out into our world and do something. To make changes, to draw people to who Jesus is. And so that's why Jesus is telling us that we're these two things. You are salt and you are light. The question is this: how can we be the light of the world when Jesus said he was the light of the world? If you go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So is there a contradiction here? Absolutely not. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. People try and point out, well, the Bible does this, the Bible contradicts it. The Bible never contradicts itself. And so because he is light, we have to think about this. Because he's light and he's the light of the world, in the world he makes and he sends us to, he says, you are the light as well. You are to be that light also. He's the source. And we are those that receive what he gives to us so that we also can be the light of the world. And so because he's the source and because of that, he can call us the light of the world because he's going to light us up. We see the sun. He reflects on our lives. Now he says, now you're the light of the world. Shine like you should for me. Light's essential for life, isn't it? If you don't have the sunlight, things go bad really fast. We know how it's needed for so many things, all the way from the growth of crops to finding our way in the dark to the D3 that it gives us when it hits our skin and helps us in all those things. Light exposes, it reveals, it helps us find what's lost. When we drop it in the light, does a lot of things, doesn't it? Jesus' light brought life and light to us. Now we are able to shine the way for people around us to see the way to him. Therefore, we are the reflection of that light. And as we shine our light, people should be drawn to Christ, which tells us what? Our lives need to be lived for him in obedience, so that when our light shines, they're being drawn properly. And it's used in many different ways. Light was used as a metaphor for purity, knowledge of the truth, revelation at the presence of God. And so we realize that light is an awesome thing. Light enables us to grasp. When sometimes people say, "Oh, the light just went on, and I got it." You know, we use that kind of expression. The light goes, "Oh, now I see." Well, light enables us to grasp. Light enables us to understand the world around us. Not to be a part of it, but to understand it. What's going on in the world, what's happening in the world, what's happening in people's lives, and then to have the light in us to share with them so that they can see that light and be drawn out of hopelessness, out of helplessness, out of despair, out of the bleakness that people see every day and are surrounded by, especially those that only focus on that. And even Christians are guilty of that. We need to realize that there's light. And we're the light of the world, and we're to light things up for the Lord. Light brings freedom. Light brings deliverance. Light brings hope. And that's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Of anyone that can bring those things to the world around us and really bring that light, it's the Christian whose lives have been changed, who we have been radically changed from what we were and given a new life for Christ. So in its highest and its truest sense of the word, light belongs to Christ, really, and to Him alone. We saw that verse in John chapter 8 and verse 12, but also in John chapter 1 when John begins his gospel. In verse 9, he states this, he says, the true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he's referring to Jesus. Because you go back to that verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Who is the Logos? Jesus, the living Word. He was there. He's the one. And so, as we think about this and we see this, the comparison then to what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, he says, you're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill can't be hidden. He uses the comparison of a candle, and really, it was more of a lamp in Matthew 5:15, where if you drop down there, he says to us, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for those who are in the house. And so he's speaking here with his disciples, and he's telling them, you are to be this light shining in the world with a brightness that comes from the source of light, Jesus Christ. You are to shine that light wherever you go. This responsibility is passed on to us who have heard from the word from the disciples. You say, I never heard a disciple preach. No, but you got the word of God. You got the Bible. You've heard them. You've heard what they had to say. You read it and you let it come into your life. So this definition and this use of the word here spells out to us what our responsibilities are. We are to be instruments of bringing hope by pointing people to Jesus. And sometimes people get freaked out when they talk, well, I can't talk to people about the Lord because, and really those are just excuses that the enemy tries to give us, but we always think that we have the responsibility to do something in their life, and we don't. The only responsibility we have is to share with them the one who can do something in their life, and that takes a lot of burden off of witnessing and sharing with people when we realize I don't have to see something happen. I have to be faithful, and I have to share, and I have to talk. When I introduce them to the light of the world, it's up to the light of the world, now Jesus, to come and shine that light in them, bring that conviction, and draw their heart to Him. We can be salt, salty oats of what they would want to hear and what they would want, you know, not promising them things that aren't true, like we've said before. You know, just accept Jesus and your life is going to be great. You're going to have a party and everything's going to go well. No, accept Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sin. He will cleanse your heart. He will give you a new life. He will give you new direction. You need to trust Him. You need to walk with Him. We do that part. He's the one that does the changing. He's the one that does the hard work. And so as instruments, we are to bring that hope by pointing them to the one who can change their life. The one that can give them hope, the one that can help them along the way, the one that can help them see their need, see what He can do, and then their faith is strengthened as they watch Him work in and through them. We are to show that freedom is possible in Christ when He is accepted and when He's followed and obeyed. You see, there's deliverance in Jesus, and He's able to take someone who's a mess. Maybe you know someone who's in a complete mess, and He's able to make something beautiful out of their life in only a way that He can, because He has the power to do that when they're willing to give it to Him and take their hands off. Our job as lights is to show them the way so that they can see Him, come to Him, and then so that they and us get a more of a hunger and a thirst, wanting more and more of God, more and more of who He is. So after telling us that we're light, Jesus uses the illustration there in that 14th verse. He says, you're like a city on a hill. When a city at night is lit up, it can be seen for miles in places where the area is open. You can see them for miles. Have you ever driven through a mountainous area at night? And as you're driving, maybe seeing a little town up here, a little town over there, or even a home that stands out because the light is on in the darkness and it's lit up. And it could be that as this was happening and Jesus was talking about this, He pointed to that. Look it around. Check it out. A city set on a hill. Many of the towns in Judea were placed on hills. They were placed where you could see them, sides of mountains. You could see them at a great distance. And a lot of times, what gives you hope at night in the dark? It's a light. It's a light. The night we were lost in the swamp, overnight in Argyle Swamp, we looked as hard as we could to find and see a light. If we could see a light, and I told a kid that was with me, I says, when we see a light, that's the direction we're walking in the morning, because that's the only light we could see. And we did see one little light way in a distance. Fortunately for us, they found us before we started making the trek, because that light was a long ways away. But it was light, and it was a direction that we were going to go and hopefully eventually make it there. And so Jesus points it out to the city. He says, you're like that. You see that, how they light up? You're like that. So to your friends, to your family, to wherever, you should be that light. They should be able to see light in you wherever you go. Their actions really couldn't be hidden. The eyes of the world were on those disciples. They must be seen. And as it is, it's the same case with us, isn't it? They ought to be able to see us. They ought to be able to see that we're different. They ought to be able to see us shining in a way that no one else is, unless there's other Christians around in a dark world that's hopeless. They need to see us shine. And we ought to do so because of the holiness that He brings to us, the undefiledness that comes to our lives, and everything we do, remember the bottom line, for His sake. It's for His sake, not ours. Inasmuch as if our Savior would have said, and we paraphrase this, you need to be holy. Your conversation, your actions can't be hidden any more than a city that's built on a hill, which is obvious to the eye, can be hidden when it's lit up. All men's eyes are looking at you. They're looking at us, especially if they know who we are. They're looking maybe for some glimmer of hope in our lives that they could grasp. The same idea is true for each Christian. And we do it for His sake, not ours. Once the Beatitudes are established in our lives, those building blocks that we looked at, we can then be this type of light, just as we can be the type of salt that He wanted, the type of light that Jesus is telling us about. The society around us needs this light to show them the way. They're lost. They're hopeless. Our world is in great darkness, and it's getting darker every day. People flounder around. People are searching everywhere for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something, somewhere, to help us, to give us some answers. Sadly enough, there's a lot of false teaching out there. There's a lot of false prophets out there. There's a lot of cults out there that are voicing their opinions. And if that's the only light, the only hope they can get, they're going. Where's the Christian? You know, where's the Christian? We should be out there setting the trend, not like some of these false leaders, false pastors that are out there, you know, talking about the Jesus is gender neutral and Jesus is this and He's that. And Jesus probably, read it, it's there. Jesus probably wasn't even a Christian. And, you know, they go on and on. And they're out there spreading that news. Where are we spreading the light? Where are we sharing the light of the good news with those around us? You see, our neighbors, our family members, people at work, people where you shop, people where you do things, They're all around us. We need to be shining as a light. Light will attract. Light will guide them to the source of life. And that's what we want. Verse 15, Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So what's the purpose of a lamp being lit? It's obvious. To provide light, right? To light up the room. To help people see. To make their way around so they don't stumble and fall. Jesus, again, makes an obvious point about the purpose of lighting a lamp. He says our lives, our ministries, every aspect of our lives should be to shine the light of Jesus wherever we go. Remember as a little child, maybe you've learned in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then it talks about don't let Satan blow it out, hide it under a bushel, what? No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. And then what was the last verse? Let it shine till Jesus comes. You know, we say, well, that was a little kid's song. Maybe we ought to sing it as adults. Let our light shine for Him. Shining the light of Jesus wherever we go. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege as His followers. Jesus proceeded here to show them that the very reason they were lit and to be light was so that others might also see that light and to benefit from us. From it. He didn't just give it to us to enjoy it and sit around on our little holy huddles and say, we're having a good time enjoying this light of Jesus. Man, we're having a fun time. He says, no, get out there and share it. When people light a lamp, they don't conceal the light, but they place it where it's going to be of use, where it can be seen. Now remember, in those days, they couldn't come in, flick on the light, you know, and hopefully they've got a light bulb up there that is LED now, so they're not going to use so much juice there in the Holy Land. And they flip that. They didn't have that luxury. They didn't have that opportunity. We know that. So it is with a Christian. And so it is with Christianity. Our light is lit so that we can benefit those that are around us. Our light's not to be concealed, but it's there to show itself and to shed light and to those that are around us and to shed light around in this wicked world of ours, because light exposes darkness. Why do Christians get persecuted? Because they show light. Light exposes deeds. People don't want their deeds exposed, so they're going to try and do something to you to get you out of the way. So we still need to be the light, irregardless. And so in the original language that this was written in, a lot of translations leave it out and use the letter A. Jesus used an image to these people that was very familiar to them. And we understand that it was very familiar to them because Jesus uses the definite article here in this verse. And the definite article in the Greek is the word the. It's a definite article. It makes a statement, makes a firm statement. And so when he talks about here, he says, no one lights a lamp, puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. Well, what Jesus is saying here, using the definite article, the, in the Greek should read, under the bushel or basket, and on the lampstand. That implies familiarity. That small little definite article made the difference in what the hearers were hearing from him. And the hearers understood what he meant when he says, the lampstand, the lamp, do those things. And you see, it's the house then that would always have with that article of furniture. Everyone would either have a lampstand where they could put the lamp, or a lot of them were built with a little ledge, various places into the wall, and they could set it up there. Now, this is what they put up there. Something like this. A little lamp. A hole in the top, you fill it with oil, the flame comes out here, and it lights up the room. Not a lot of light, but at least you're not going to smash yourself, you know, stub your toe on something or fall over somebody, but that light's going to stay lit. And you see, you put it on that lampstand, or you put it on that shelf that sticks out of the wall so that people can see. And so that you can see, and so that there's those that are around you can see. You see, the bushel that's being talked about here was a Latin measure that was nearly the same as our English peck. And a bushel denotes anything, really, that might conceal the light. Anything that might put it so that the light wouldn't shine. And that's what Jesus is talking about. One thing that adds interest to this is that the illustration that Jesus uses when he talks about no one puts it under the basket or under a bushel, is that these baskets were commonly made of wood. And such articles as these would have been often made from the carpenter shops in Nazareth, because there was a lot of carpenters there. And it would then be by there for use by its neighbors who would buy those things and use them. Think about it. As Jesus was talking about this, maybe he was thinking about how, as a boy in his earthly father's shop, he even made some of those very things that people would use in their daily life. And so what Jesus is saying here, by not putting your hiding your lamp under a bushel or a basket, he's pointing out here that there can be no secret followers of him. There's no secret service Christians. There's no undercover Christians. Is not really such a thing. Jesus is pointing that out. There's no secret follower of me. Your light should shine. It's not natural to light a lamp and then to hide its light, put it under something. In the same way, we don't accept Christ as our Savior and then hide and let it affect no one, but we allow it to affect every area of our lives, and it should affect everything that we do and everywhere that we go. It should make us hunger as that light is lit, a hunger for more of God in our lives. One of the key elements, the Asbury Revival and any revival, was a hunger that broke out for God that couldn't be satisfied. A hunger. We want more of God, and we're not going to settle for it until we get it. We need to be forceful, in a sense, in our need for revival and saying, God, I'm going to be relentless. I want more of you more than anything in life, and see what he can do. You see what happened in revival in Asbury. Now you see it spreading to campuses all around the country, even in secular universities. I even saw where a middle school started having a revival because the kids started to pray and seek God, and God moved. God's no respecter of age. Wherever he sees a willing heart, he's going to move. He's going to act. It ought to make us hunger for more of God in our lives. So Jesus is the light of the world, has lit every follower. Every follower that names the name of Jesus with the light of life to be shared. And we are to let this light fill us and pass it on. We do this simply by our witness, by our testimony, by the way that we conduct our lives, by the way we conduct our business. People ought to know us for honesty and integrity and for those types of things. Because the next verse will show us, in verse 16, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The key there is in the same way. Because it's similar to the word therefore. It's a connecting phrase. That's the key to this verse. And sometimes it's been misconstrued in the way it's presented. And so it's often misconceived as if we were saying, let your light shine in such a way that men may see. And then you fill in the blank there. At the beginning of the sentence, he says, in the same way, it points back to the illustration that he just used. So, or in the same way, even as the lamp I just mentioned to you, he says, let your light shine before men for a reason. Wycliffe had it, apparently caught this idea when he says, so shine your light before men. Shine your light before them. When Jesus is saying this, and what he's saying is plain and simple, let your light so shine, let your holy life, let your pure conversation and your faithful instructions be everywhere seen and known by those that are around you. Always, in all places, wherever you are, in all your business, at home and abroad, in prosperity or in adversity, no matter what, let it be seen that you're a real Christian. A real Christian. And that's what we need to be asking the Lord to help us in our lives. What's the reason we're told to let our light shine in this way? Jesus says, so people will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's the bottom line. Is there a problem here? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness or your good deeds in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. How do those two reconcile? Is there a contradiction here? No. Here, Jesus gives a caution in verse 1 of chapter 6 about pride being in our good works. Hey, see what I did for Jesus? See what I accomplished this week? Kind of a thing. The key here, in the bottom line, is motive. Is motive. Don't miss this. If you miss the motive, you're going to miss it all. You see, that they may see your good works. The proper motive is to influence us not to simply be seen, but it should be there that our Heavenly Father is going to be glorified because of what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm doing, so God's glorified. Don't give me praise, give it to God. Deflect all praise to Him, as people may say, well, thank you, and say, well, thank the Lord, because He, you see, that's the idea. Jesus is saying, make sure that God is praised. Make sure they see your good works, so they give Him the glory. It's the motive. Don't miss it. They may see that those works and glorify Him. Now, that's where the difference is in Matthew 5:16 and Matthew 6:1. It's the motive. The Pharisees acted to be seen by men. They would brag about their things. There was a thing called a phylactery that they would wear on their forehead, a little prayer thing, and usually a small little thing. Theirs would be big, kind of a thing to make people think. You know, the Pharisees wanted the attention. They wanted the accolades. They wanted the best seats. And Jesus pointed all that out to them. He didn't mince words with them, and that's why they didn't like Him. They wanted to be seen by men. True Christians act to glorify God. They don't care very much at all about what people may think about them or what they may say about them. They're going to glorify God. Our desire is that by our conduct, by what we do, others will be brought to honor God and give Him glory. We should so live that people will see from our lives, from our conduct, from all that we do, a proper nature of our relationship with God and what it's all about, and how they can have one too. It also is interesting, the first time Jesus uses the term Father for God occurs here in these verses. Glorify your Father. In other words, praise, honor God, or be led to worship Him because they see your good works. So people should see in our lives the excellency of our relationship with the Lord, the power and the purity of the gospel, so that they can be one to Christ and give praise and glory to God for His mercy in a lost world. So what do we learn from what Jesus is teaching here? First of all, that true Christianity can't be concealed. Secondly, that where it is not seen, it doesn't exist, because there's no such thing as a secret follower. That just talkers, or those who profess with their words Christianity, who live like other people and don't give evidence that they've been changed, probably aren't truly saved at all. They need to get their heart right with the Lord. Fourthly, that to attempt to conceal or hide our Christian knowledge or experience is to betray our trust, to injure the cause of godliness, and to render our lives useless. To hear the words, your rewards have just burned up because you did not do them from a pure heart. You did not do them to bring glory to your Father in heaven. And lastly, that good actions will be seen and will lead people to honor God when we do it His way. If we have no other way of doing good, sometimes we say, well, I don't have any way to do this or that. We do what we know is right, and we do so in a way of obedience and love to Him, so that by the life we live and by the example we set, people can be drawn to Him. No sincere and humble Christian ever lives their life in vain when they live it for Him. Someone said, let your light shine. The light of that doctrine which you receive from Jesus and the light of your salvation, so let it shine before men, be so evident and apparent to them that they see those good works and glorify, that is, seeing your good works, they may both praise God for sending such a great religion into the world, and also embracing your faith, they may imitate your holy example, or may be moved to love and serve God like we do, and therefore give glory to the Lord. So as followers of Jesus Christ, who have having built into our lives the attitudes of Jesus that he gave us at the beginning of the chapter, and that he taught us, and having our lives salted with that message, and having our lives lit by him, the results of our lives should be never glory or praise for us, but all praise and glory should be given to him. The bottom line is, let your light shine, and let it shine bright. Father, we thank you for giving us the instructions, but also giving us the ability to do it. Help our lights to shine for you. Help us not to get away from that thought, that fact. I am to be light. I'm to shine my light for you and for your glory, for your honor. Help us to take that personal and to make it an objective of our daily walk with you. Thank you for caring and for loving us. Thank you for the power that you give us. Thank you for who you are. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.